Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. For this edition, keynote remarks from Pam Stenzel during Ileana Right to Life's 2024 banquet. Ms. Stenzel has been an advocate for life since the 1980s and currently helps to operate 4 pregnancy resource centers in Florida. Pam is the author of Sex Has a Price Tag and co-author of Nobody Told Me About the Physical and Emotional Consequences of Sex Outside of Marriage. During the segment of Spotlight, she notes that we live in a culture that says we can sin safely.
I spent many years counseling in pregnancy clinics in Chicago. When we moved to Minneapolis, I started working with Alpha Women's Center. I would have girls in my clinic every day saying, Pam, I didn't know. If someone would have told me that this is what was going to happen, I would have made a different choice. No one told me. I began to ask these girls in my clinic, what could we have said? What could someone have said to you before you made your choice that might have helped you to have made a better choice? And after 9 years, I realized we had a lot of students out there making decisions about sex, having no idea, none, what the consequence of that choice would be. Let me just tell you something about how the Holy Spirit works. When you start whining about who's not telling somebody something, typically he'll just take his little finger and say, well, then you do it. You know, stop whining about who's not educating our kids and talking to them about sex. You do it. So I started going to youth pastors back in the late 80s, and I'd be like, I would much rather see your kids at church on Wednesday night than in my clinic on Thursday morning. And back in the day, well, not our kids that go to church, no. Here's the intake at my pregnancy center. When was the first day of your last period, and where do you go to church? They finally let me begin to share with their student, probably because the youth pastors didn't want to do it, so let this crazy girl from a pregnancy center come in and talk about sex. I got a call from Youth for Christ in Minneapolis, Larry Anderson at the time, and he said, Pam, I had a businessman walk into Youth for Christ and wrote a $20,000 check to put your talk to students about sex on video, VHS at the time. That's all. And I thought he was crazy. I'm like, I don't know what you're doing. The first VHS tape came out in 1995, Sex Has a Price Tag, that has been translated in 11 languages and used in 41 countries around the world. I would have girls in my clinic, you know, and they come in for a pregnancy test. They're scared to death waiting for the results of that test. I have to look at this little girl and say, for a lot of them, their test is negative. They're not pregnant. They're scared. She gets this look of relief over her face, like, I'm off the hook, I'm not pregnant. Thank you very much. Let me out of your clinic. Wait a minute. Have you been tested for syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, chlamydia, trichinomas, vaginitis, arthritis, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HPV, HIV? You been tested for that? She's like, me? I live in Merrillville. I don't live in Indianapolis. This girl is in our clinic thinking she could be pregnant and does not think she could have an STD. Here's the reality right now. The biggest fear of teens, students having sex is pregnancy. Pregnancy is not a disease, it's survivable, you can live through it. I've lived through it 3 times now, a few extra pounds here and there hasn't killed me yet. And yet these girls don't understand the consequences of the decision they're making that very, very permanent, right? I've said to kids forever, God created sex, but he created it with a boundary. And when sex happens within the boundary for which it was created, it's awesome. When it happens outside of that boundary, it's horribly, horribly destructive. What is the boundary, the context for which God created sex? Marriage is the right answer. Most of you knew that. Your kids don't believe that. You know how many church kids I've had in my clinic go to church, go to youth group, would get the answer right? Yeah, but we loved each other. God did not create sex for love. That's not the boundary. He created it for one context and one only, permanent lifetime commitment, marriage. Not love. Now, sometimes in marriage there's love, that's helpful. Occasionally there's not. Not the criteria. 38 years ago, I walked the aisle and said these words to a young man I met in Bible college and whom I loved. I said, you and you only, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death, death, death. Dude, I was brain damaged. So was he. Guess what? We got sicker, poorer, and worse. Sorry to burst your bubble. Sometimes when we're teenage girls, we think marriage is gonna be happily ever after, excitement, heart pounding romance, one big long date. I blame Disney. I am committed to you for the rest of my life. That is the safe context for sex, marriage, covenant, sacrament. Not a fuzzy feeling, right? Either you're married or you're not. And you can't be kind of married or almost married any more than you can be kind of pregnant. It is an A or B situation. And here's the other reason I love God's law. Because it's true for all of us in this room, correct? Amen. Here's where I get in trouble with the adults when I speak to students. Because we all like, oh, Pam talks about sexual integrity and that's for teenagers, but adults. What are you talking about? This has nothing to do with age. This boundary is true for every single person in this room. Here it is. If you are not married, don't do it. If you are married, go for it with the person you're married to. I have to put that in there. Some of our politicians get confused. You're not on a date going, I don't know, did he love me? He said he's really cute. We're getting married next summer. He went to Jared's. What should I do? Are you married? No, then don't. I tell students every day, you forget everything I tell you, and you can only remember one thing from me. This is what I want you to hear. If you have sex outside of marriage, if you have sex outside of one permanent monogamous, and monogamy does not mean one at a time, that is one partner who has only been with you, you have sex outside of that context and you'll pay. There's a cost. No one has ever had more than one partner and not pay. So the question I've had to ask kids to ask, well, the questions I've asked students to think about every day for the last 25 years is, what does that cost and is it worth paying? Here's the problem. We live in a culture that believes that you can sin safely. And I have news for you, people of God. The wages of sin is death. Not occasionally, not once in a while, every single time. And what we're looking at in our culture is the end result of sin. The end result of choosing to shake your fist in the face of a holy God and say, I don't need you, and I don't need your rules, and you're not gonna need to tell me how to live my life, and I'm gonna do it my way. And the end of that will always be pain, sin, disease, and death, right? One of the things that's been so frustrating for me is that because pregnancy, we have, in our culture, we have treated pregnancy like the disease, and we've not dealt with the disease. I rattled off some diseases for you. Do you know that 2022, the CDC said that we had 28 million new infections with STDs in this country, the most we've had since we've been following these. 28 million new STD infections in our country in 2022. Last year I have stats for it. And 60% of those are people between the ages of 15 and 24. That's our problem. That's the epicenter, 15 to 24. If you had graduated high school in 1964, anybody want to admit you can remember that year? One in 32 of your classmates would have had an STD. If you would have graduated with me in the dark ages of 1983, getting closer for some of you, one in 18 of my classmates had a sexually transmitted infection. Today, it is one in four. In the 1950s, we had five sexually transmitted diseases we knew about were treating. Five! You could count them on one hand. I tell students every day, go find a grandparent. Go find somebody who grew up in the 50s or 60s. Ask them. This would be a great dinner table conversation next time your grandma's in the chat. Grandma, were there STDs when you were a kid? Did people have those? Talk about it at school, at church? Did you have crazy speakers come to your church and yell about syphilis in 1964? No. Maybe a few people back then had an STD, got a shot of penicillin, moved on. Welcome to 2024. We now have over 30 sexually transmitted infections, 30% of them absolutely incurable. That means you get one of these STDs and you've got it for life. Which is a lovely thing, boys, when you're getting ready to get married. Found this girl you love. I mean, this is it. She's the one you want to marry, all those other girls that was just messing around. This is the real thing. Pull out that diamond, look her in the eyes, you say, marry me. By the way, I've got genital warts. You'll get it too, and we'll both be treated for the rest of our lives. In fact, you'll probably end up with a radical hysterectomy, cervical cancer, and possibly death. But marry me. Well, I'm excited now. Thanks for sharing. So what do you want to tell your wife, boys?
Well,
Probably HPV, genital warts, syphilis, gonorrhea, herpes, chlamydia, trichinomas, vibrioderma, arthritis, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, list goes on and on and on. Serious diseases with serious consequences. Of the 30 major STDs we're dealing with today, 26 of them primarily damage women. The other four damage both. Ladies, we will pay a higher price, and in case you missed this in sixth grade human reproduction and anatomy, we're different. Boys and girls' bodies are not the same. Do you know that I've been speaking in schools, public schools, for many years until COVID, and now I can't even get into a public school anymore because it's not politically correct, but the most controversial thing I'll say out loud and why I am no longer allowed on a public school campus is what I just said, that males and females are different. That is the most controversial thing I can say in 2024. Can you believe it? It's insane. I was speaking at a Christian youth conference, and this girl came up to me. She goes, Pam, my boyfriend wants to know all those diseases you were talking about, wants to know what he needs to be worried about. I said, did you sleep through my talk? All of them. The difference, sweetheart, is that the consequences for you are far greater than they will ever be for him. And she still looked confused. And she goes, well, my boyfriend is transitioning. I said, your boyfriend is a biological female. Is that what you're telling me? She said, yes. I said, your boyfriend needs a pap smear. Never in my life would I thought I would have to look at someone and tell them that their boyfriend needs a pap smear. We've lost our ever-loving minds. My son, who is now in his 30s, when he was 5 years old, knew that, in fact, he was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. He had the outfit. My son grew up when he realized that he was not, in fact, a Teenage Mutant Ninja. Do you see what's happened? This, my friends, hear me carefully, is the end of Romans 1. We are living the end of Romans 1. And this generation of students is being lied to in ways I never thought the enemy could lie to them. And that's why it's so important that we speak the truth. The biggest damage of STD, massive STD infection among this generation and our women is infertility. Infertility has risen among women over 500% in one decade. We've got literally hundreds of thousands of young women entering maybe 25, 30 years old saying, I'd like to start my family now. I'm married. I finished college. I finally found a good guy, done with all the sex I had back there. I asked Jesus to forgive me for that. That's my past. She tries to get pregnant. She can't. She goes running to a doctor. He checks and says, my goodness, sweetheart, you've got all the scar tissue, your fallopian tubes, your ovaries, your uterus. You have PID, pelvic inflammatory disease. You had chlamydia when you were a teenager. I had what? I had a sexually transmitted infection. How could I have had that? I didn't know. Too late, sweetheart. Again, you cannot sin safely. There will be a consequence at the end of that. And I believe that our students deserve to know the truth before they make those decisions, not after.
Pam Stenzel during the Ileana Right to Life banquet in Maryville, Indiana. More of her remarks from that event after this.
This is Seth Leibson for townhall.com. Look at those Trump appointments. It brings to mind the GOP convention in 1964 when Barry Goldwater said extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And an institutionalized journalist turned to his friend and said, my God, he's going to run as Goldwater. Well, Donald Trump has run as a disruptor, and one doesn't disrupt by changing the spokes on the wheels. They change the wheels, or the car. Donald Trump, like Ronald Reagan before him, identified the problems of the deep state and big government well. But while slaying other monsters, in both cases from tyranny and terrorism to a laggard economy, they were unable to do much about the government here. That's a lesson Trump has learned, and he was not shy in what he campaigned on. The Democrats said the worst they could of him as well, and they tried to destroy him, and yet he won. Big, with a mandate. People heard and saw and said they want this, and Trump, with these picks, is going to govern as Trump, just as people wanted, a disruptor. I'm Seth Leibson.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. We're featuring keynote remarks made by Pam Stenzel during the 2024 Ileana Right to Life banquet in Maryville, Indiana. Ms. Stenzel is an author and helps to operate four pregnancy resource centers in Florida. In speeches around the country, she encourages young people to wait to have sex until they are married.
I have had to tell a lot of young women in my pregnancy center that their pregnancy test was positive. Immediately they want an easy, painless way out of this pregnancy they didn't plan. And I have to look at this little girl and say, guess what, sweetheart? Your choices at this point are bad, terrible, and even worse. Those are your options. You actually had a good choice. That was before you had sex. Now all of the choices you've got in front of you are going to carry lifelong consequences. There is no easy way out of a pregnancy you didn't plan. Abortion is painful. I've counseled hundreds of women, 5, 10, 15, 20 years after having an abortion, still hurting. I've counseled teen girls with anorexia, bulimia, depression, cutting, attempted suicide because of an abortion they couldn't take back. That is not like going to the dentist and getting your tooth pulled. People, you need to hear what the abortion industry is doing to our girls today. This started prior to COVID, but COVID literally put the seal on it. The abortion industry knew that Dobbs was going to go down. They understood the political climate way before some of us did. And they knew that there would become a time where states would begin to restrict abortion access. And so what they knew they had to do was find new ways to get to women and provide abortion to women. And so they began to really push what we call chemical abortion, RU486, medication abortion. This is not the morning after pill. This is not Plan B. This is very dangerous drugs given, two separate drugs given to women between the 5th and 10th week of pregnancy. The FDA, when the abortion pills first came on the scene, they had REMS around them, very strict REMS. These are very dangerous drugs. And so in order to give a woman the abortion pill, she had to see a doctor in person. The physician had to give her the first drug. The first pill she takes is called Misoprostol. This is a progesterone blocker. She takes that drug and it blocks the progesterone in her body, which is what maintains a pregnancy and feeds that baby, helps that baby grow. So then she's sent home with the second drug, Misoprostol. That is taken 48 hours to 72 hours after having taken the first drug. The Misoprostol causes her to go into labor, and she will now deliver her now dead baby. It is desperately important. The FDA said no woman should ever take the abortion pills without first having an ultrasound. She must have an ultrasound. There's a reason for the ultrasound. Number one, we need to find out, is the baby viable? If the baby does not have a heartbeat, if the baby is not living, there is no reason to ingest these dangerous drugs to kill a baby that's already dead. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So we need to know baby's viable. The second thing we need to know is that baby is where baby is supposed to be, and in the uterus and not in the fallopian tube or ectopic or outside of the uterus. If a woman takes the abortion pill and baby is ectopic in her fallopian tube or outside of the uterus, it will do nothing to kill the baby, and she will end up in a lot of pain. Her tubes are going to burst. She will bleed out and die. We must know baby is in the uterus before we give her these dangerous drugs. The next thing we need to know is how far along she is. What is the gestational age? When we try in our pregnancy centers, when we try and kind of gauge how far along we might think this girl is, this is the question we ask. When is the first day of your last period? Okay? Tell me that. That's how I'm going to attempt to gauge. Ask a 15 to 24-year-old. Shoot, ask some of the 30-year-olds in here. When was the first day of your last period? It was September. No, maybe it was August. She has no idea. The only way I am going to actually know how far along she is to do the ultrasound so I can measure that baby. These drugs should not be ever taken beyond 10 weeks. It is so dangerous. The young mother that died in Georgia did not die because of Georgia's pro-life laws. She was killed by the abortion pill. The abortion pill killed her. And the industry won't tell you. Taking chemical abortions, are 1 in 25 women who take the abortion pill will end up in the ER. It's far more dangerous than surgical abortion. But you know what the industry's calling it? do-it-yourself abortion, at-home abortion. Do it, and it is devastating. They don't care 1 ounce about women's health. Not a second. They care about money. So here's what happened. COVID happened, and the abortion industry went, we can't give girls an ultrasound because it's COVID. And so the abortion industry got the FDA to remove the regulation and allowed them to do drive-through abortions. The girl would drive up to the abortion clinic or to Planned Parenthood. The worker would come out in a hazmat suit, walk out to her car, hand her a bag with both of those horrifying drugs, take her money, because we're not doing this for free, my friend, take her cash on their little credit card machine, and she would drive off. Don't know if pregnancy's viable, don't know if she's 15 weeks, if she's 20 weeks, don't know if she's 30 weeks along. This is how we're having babies being born alive. Viable, we had a baby wash up on a beach in Fort Lauderdale. Mom had taken the abortion pills at 30 weeks. She got through the mail. She was in so much pain, she decided to go in the water and delivered the baby and walked away. And the baby, placenta and all, washed up onto our beaches. It's devastating. I was at my University of Florida clinic, and a young co-ed walked in, a college student came in. She was visibly shaking. She had a little Tupperware, a little container in her hands. And my nurses quickly got her back into the counseling room, and she said, they told me it was a blob of tissue. It was just cells. She took the abortion pill. She took the second drug in her dorm, and she was in so much pain. She had to have labor, just tremendous amount of pain, bleeding. And to try and get away from the pain, she decided to go in a shower. She went and was taking a hot shower, and a baby was delivered, a little 9-week-old. And the baby was so big, it wouldn't go down the drain of the shower. So she had to dig that little baby up out of her shower floor, and she saw the head and the little hands and the little feet, and she said, I could not bring myself to flush him down the toilet, and so I came to you. Devastated. Do you understand the devastation that's happening to our girls? Because it's one thing to walk into an abortion clinic and have an abortion doctor suction the baby out, even though you paid for it. It's a whole nother thing to have to see it and to have the world tell you that you did it yourself. It's horrifying. And that's 60% of all abortions that are being done today. Parenting is not an easy choice, but one of the reasons I'm so grateful that I am walking alongside women experiencing unintended pregnancies is because we are determined, as our pregnancy centers across the country, to come alongside them and help them parent. And not just mom, but dads. We have amazing fatherhood programs now. We want to walk alongside that young man and mentor him. And maybe you weren't ready to be a father, but you are now. And we want to help you. We want to make a difference. We want to do whatever it takes to support them in the decision to parent their child. Third option a young girl has, which I happen to think is the best option available to young women today, but it's not without pain, is adoption. The ability of a young girl to take the child she's carried with her for 9 months and loves with everything she is, to say, I want what's best for my child and I'm not it. And I am willing to take on all of this pain in order to give my child a family. That takes a lot of courage, a lot of maturity, and a lot of love. That is not easy. 1.5 million requests for adoption will go unanswered this year in our country. 1.5 million couples who would love to be parents before Christmas who will not be. Girls, I'm going to remind you again, because this will primarily affect our young girls. Infertility among women has risen over 500% in one decade. You find out 5 years from now, 10 years from now, that you can't have children for whatever reason, and all the money you and your husband have spent trying to get pregnant, sweetheart, doesn't work, chances you'll be able to adopt an infant in the United States. Not good. Average adoption of infants in this country today takes between 5 and 7 years and costs between $40,000 and $80,000. We have no infants available. 98% of women with an unintended pregnancy who carry their children to term, 98% will parent. 2% will place or surrender. So do you see the problem, or does it making sense? Do you all get that?
There are no infants available. 59 years ago in Michigan, a young 15-year-old became pregnant. She had a lot of difficult choices to make. Maybe more so than some 15-year-old girls, she was raped. But this 15-year-old girl chose to give her child life and then to place that child with an adoptive family. And that child was me. My biological father is a rapist. I don't even know my ethnicity. But I am still a human being. And I still have value. And I do not believe that my life is worth less than yours simply because of the way I was conceived. And I don't believe that I deserve the death penalty for the crime of my biological father. And I've listened to the rhetoric my whole life. My whole life. Listen to people say, well, every child should be wanted and planned. I've heard this said in the church. Well, I wouldn't have an abortion. That's horrible. I wouldn't kill my child. But if it were rape, you're a mistake, Pam. I don't believe that. I believe that every child is wanted by someone. And I believe that God in his mercy had a plan for me. And I can't explain that to you, and you can't me. Don't try. I was every Bible professor's worst nightmare in college. Want to talk about the sovereignty of God and free will of man? Because I have a question, and be really careful how you answer it. Did God plan me? I memorized a verse in Awana that went like this. I knew you before the foundations of the world. Formed you in your mother's womb. Did that mean me? Or did that just mean you? Did God look down that night in November of 1964 and say, oops, what I'm going to do, this huge mistake right here? Here's what I know, Church of Jesus Christ. I know that my God is so awesome and so amazing that he is capable of taking your worst pain, whether it was something you chose or whether it was something that was done to you. And my God can make something very beautiful come from that. Amen. That's amazing grace. That is redemption. I have not had the privilege of meeting my birth mother. I've been praying for since I was 4 years old. Because she loved me. Loved me enough to give me my life. And then she loved me enough to give me the next most special gift I was ever given. And that's my family. But I know that my family was a gift from a very scared 15-year-old girl. And I will forever be grateful to her for that. I have spent my entire adult life walking alongside young women experiencing an unintended pregnancy. Because I know that what my birth mother needed in that horrible moment of trauma was not to have me violently ripped from her womb, to repay violence with more violence. What she needed was someone to love her. What she needed was someone to come alongside her and to say, I'm gonna be here for you. I have held children in my arms that I have saved from the death camps of this nation. By merely walking alongside their mother and saying, I can help you. We will do whatever it takes. We will not abandon you. Abortion in the case of rape kills an innocent child, damages a woman, young girl. Anybody want to argue with me about that? You think abortion fixes that for her, makes it all better, takes the rape away? Who have you helped? Because you've helped someone. You've helped the rapist every single time. You know what I say to this? People who say that they're against abortion except in the case of rape are having misplaced compassion. The compassion is not who they think they're being compassionate. They're being compassionate towards the rapist, towards the perpetrator, the trafficker, never towards the woman, and certainly not to her child. And that's why we need to speak very clearly about this. I have been doing this a very long time. I've been fighting the battle for the lives of the unborn and for their moms, their dads, for a very long time. And as I look out over this lovely, beautiful crowd, I see a lot of you who have probably also been doing this a very long time. And it's really easy to get discouraged, right? It's easy to say, you know what? Our country is going in completely the wrong direction. When you fought a battle for a really long time, it's easy to get discouraged, and what I'm going to tell you today is we can't afford for you to be discouraged. We can't afford for you to give up. We can't afford to say it's too hard and the culture's too dark and I'm too old. No excuses.
We have to keep on fighting this battle. We have to. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta had a quote that I have carried with me my entire ministry. Mother Teresa said this, "God did not call us to be successful. He called us to be faithful." And what we need to commit to doing is to commit to be faithful to what God's called us to do. Because my only heart is that one day I will be able to run into the arms of Jesus and I want to hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Will you with me be faithful until he calls us home or comes back?" I'll take either of those things. But until that happens, please do not give up. Please continue to pray. Please continue to be a light and a voice for the unborn. Please continue to support this work here in your own community, your pregnancy centers in your community. Do not give up. We need you. Amen. We need you, all right? Be faithful. God bless you.
Author and pro-life advocate Pam Stenzel during the 2024 Ileana Right to Life Banquet in Maryville, Indiana. Our thanks to Ileana Right to Life for allowing Spotlight to share her remarks. Make plans to attend the Illinois Family Institute's Marriage and Family Worldview Conference, Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. For more information, click events at illinoisfamily.org. Go to illinoisfamily.org to sign on for IFI email updates. And please consider donating to IFI. All donations are tax deductible. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.